The Vox Markets Podcast. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Hello and welcome to Vox Markets. I am John Heumann and I'm delighted to be joined today by Jeremy Skillington, Chief Exec of Poolbeg Pharma, to talk through what has been a fantastic year for the company. How are you doing, Jeremy?
I'm doing well, John, but I got to admit, a bit tired. What a busy year we've had.
I'm not surprised. So much going on. Perhaps start with some of the key highlights.
Yeah, listen, we made significant progress across our pipeline in 2023, advancing our lead program, POB001. We've strengthened our intellectual property position, which is critical in this industry, and presented at some really significant conferences across the year. And of course, very partnering focused, so advanced some of our partnering discussions. So, that's a high level summary of a lot of activity that the Poolbeg team has been working on, like a tremendous effort. But you probably saw recently as well, we've kind of expanded, where we've kind of brought in some fantastic people. Three former Amrit Pharma leaders are coming into Poolbeg. And, some of you may know that our chairman, Cathal Friel, was one of the co-founders of Amrit back in 2015. And they got bought out earlier this year for $1.48 billion. So dollars, that is. But, again, a very short still of time where they kind of built the company, built the progress, brought in products to commercialize, and then that funded the pipeline. And that's something that we plan to do as well. We talk about Amrit 2.0, that bringing in approved drugs in market to fund the development of a pipeline, driving significant shareholder value. And obviously that comes from partnering as well as product revenue generation. So again, busy time of the year, and I'm really looking forward to 2024 to execute on these plans.
Yeah. Well, we'll come on to what we can expect next year towards the end of the interview. Let's start with sure. What happened right at the beginning, actually, and your lead drug, POLB001. Huge progress across the whole pipeline of assets this year. But the first thing that happened early in the year was the expansion of that into CRS induced from cancer immunotherapies. Yeah. Very, very exciting. Perhaps tell us a little bit more about that.
We're very excited with POB001 as a drug. We did start this off looking in severe influenza. We see a role to play there in severe influenza to bring down the cytokine storm, that cytokine release syndrome. And yes, we looked broader to see where else there was an issue around with cytokine release syndrome. That's where cancer immunotherapy came in. And I think that early this year, we announced really fantastic data from our LPS challenge study, where we know the drug works. It gets on board, it finds the target, it inhibits that inflammatory response. So again, looking at the cancer immunotherapy market, it's a significant issue there, where they give these fantastic drugs who have great cure rates, fantastic benefits for patients, but they have this side effect where they get, again, the cytokine storm. And that creates a lot of issues for not just the patients who are feeling terrible, there's mortality and there's morbidity issues with this cytokine release syndrome, but it adds additional stress and strain onto the healthcare system because they have to keep these patients in hospital longer. They have to, sometimes they're waiting for CRS to happen. So they're taking up beds for, days, if not weeks. So again, there's kind of an issue here. And pharma recognize this is an issue with their next wave, this next generation of oncology drugs, these immuno-oncology drugs. And that being said, the market is supposed to expand to about $100 billion by 2030. So cancer immunotherapy is the way of the future. But as I said, dealing with this side effect, this cytokine release side effect, is an issue for them that they want to get resolved. And they look to companies like Poolbeg to help them do that. So we've had some fantastic discussions this year, and planning forward again for 2024 in this cancer immunotherapy CRS space.
Yeah, absolutely. POLB001. You mentioned that you've been presenting at various conferences throughout the course of the year, but I guess one of the highlights was the presentation at the American Society of Hematology conference. Tell us a bit about that.
Yeah, that was was it last week? Time is flying by. But we had the ASH conference, as it's called, is basically it's not just American, it's global leaders, thought leaders, clinicians, even patients, patient advocates, descend on this conference every year. 25,000 people coming in looking at hematology. So that's things like, you know, lymphomas, leukemias. And where we've seen really good success with these immuno-oncology drugs is in multiple myeloma in particular. So yes, they saw, you know, we presented or we you know, shared with them an abstract of our data, and they asked us to present over there, you know, because they knew that this would be of interest to the audience. So again, this is based on, as I say, the LPS challenge study, which we feel is a nice surrogate for this cytokine release syndrome associated with these immuno-oncology drugs, bispecific antibodies in particular, and also in these CAR T-cell therapies. So yeah, so we have some really good partnering discussions over there. Our new hire, Dave Almond, who one of the three came over from Amherst, was in San Diego for this conference along with two medical scientific colleagues, and some really good discussions, some really good feedback from farmers who, again, as I said, would like to see this CRS issue resolved.
Indeed. Just moving on to some other areas that you're working on, the oral GLP-1 receptor agonist market is also looking like it's got a lot of potential. Where do your efforts fit into this particular market?
Yeah, listen, you know, if you asked me at the start of the year, you know, what products would receive most attention this year, I think the GLP-1, you know, were a pleasant surprise. These GLP-1 agonists, they've been around for a while to treat diabetes, but now they've seen the effect that these drugs can have on obesity, you know, significant reductions in weight gain, in weight in general. But, you know, nice and surprisingly, they've seen benefits in cardiovascular disease and even in renal disease of late. So these drugs are, you know, been around, but like they're remarkably efficacious. Now, I will say this, most of the drugs on the market, these GLP-1 agonists, are injectables, and the market really likes to move away from injectables into anything that's orally delivered. So we have a collaboration where we're going to do a proof of concept clinical trial in the first half of next year to get that ball rolling. And to, you know, this is orally delivered GLP-1 receptor agonist. So again, a huge market. And if you can, as I say, crack it in the, you know, the oral space, then that'll be a significant interest to farmers, you know, from a partnering standpoint. Yeah. Now, it's interesting because the market is already large, as I say, from diabetes, but because of the, you know, obesity and other disease situations, it's expected to grow to about 150 billion with a B by 2031. And that's citing The Economist. So again, who did the research. So again, it's all down to oral delivery, bioavailability, getting the drug, as I say, ingesting it, getting it into systemic circulation. And are the current only marketed oral drug has a bioavailability of 1%. And that means that only 1% of the drug that you ingest gets into systemic circulation. But we think we can beat that. So as I say, we think that'll be a significant interest to pharma partners. And as I say, looking forward to getting our trial started in the first half of next year.
Yeah. Interesting you mentioned partnering. Very, very interesting strategic collaboration this year with a NASDAQ listed company. Tell us perhaps a bit about that and the opportunity to do similar things with other sort of big
yeah groups. No, absolutely. So it's in, as I say, the oral GLP-1 is through collaboration. We have a license to, you know, to use this technology for, you know, all metabolic diseases. So there's a NASDAQ companies in the metabolic disease space that we thought, let's you know, collaborate with them, take one of their, you know, product candidates and hopefully improve it, you know, so they can give this orally and, you know, see the benefits of that. But I think with these platform deals, you know, that's just one company that has the potential to do collaborations with other companies. And of course, this will lead then to kind of longer term, you know, partnering, you know, deals, licensing deals, and, you know, getting drugs through, et cetera. So it's kind of, I won't say endless possibilities, but there's a great potential to, you know, to continue developing the platform in that metabolic disease space. So again, very excited how, you know, the progress we've made to date. And as I say, looking forward to more partnerships.
Yeah, indeed. Other collaborations you've worked in have been with AI practitioners. And this is the hot topic. This is perhaps what characterizes, you know, your approach most of all. How are these programs progressing?
Yeah, I tell you, when it comes to GLP-1s and bispecifics and AI, I think Poolbeg has its finger on the pulse of what the industry is excited about. You know, but certainly the AI is... you know, we've had a fantastic, you know, two fantastic collaborations where we have this very unique human challenge data set from both RSV, respiratory syncytial virus, which is on a surge right now, as well as influenza challenge study data. So we had two separate collaborations where we wanted to understand the disease progression, And AI has fantastic capabilities to do that. These are very large data sets. So you need this kind of large supercomputers, I keep mentioning, but and various algorithms to interrogate this data and ultimately look for new drug targets and new drugs. So we progressed two collaborations there again, very rapid, very quick. And we had readouts earlier this year for the influenza study with Cytoreason. So we're working on validating the targets there. And then similarly with the RSV, working with 1-3, we're doing some lab-based analysis of their outputs. They have identified drugs which had been in the clinic previously, and we think we can reposition them to have a functional role to treat RSV. So there's discussions are ongoing. Development is ongoing right there, and of course partnering discussions to move those programs forward. So again, we're fortunate to have the data set we had, and had two terrific collaborations to kind of extract the value from that data.
Indeed. An amazing year, 2023. So much going on. Shaping up for a very interesting year. Next year, you've already sort of given us some clues as to where that might take you. What should we be looking for?
Yeah, listen, we feel we have some terrific momentum now, particularly, as I mentioned, coming back from the ASH conference. I think in a month's time, we'll be back in San Francisco at the JP Morgan healthcare conference, where everybody and anybody who's in the biopharma space descends on San Francisco at the beginning of the year. So we want to kind of maintain those conversations with global pharma companies. So it's a nice stepping stone. So heading off there second week of January. As I say, we're maintaining those momentums, those good discussions. And of course, we'll be integrating our new Amrit colleagues into Poolbeg as well. Laura Maher is coming on board to head up clinical. John McAvoy will be heading up legal. And we mentioned Dave Almond, who's more on the chief business officer of the company. So partnering deals, strategic discussions, etc. So fantastic people to have on board. So again, it's maintaining the momentum that we built in 2023, continuing advancing the pipeline, and obviously bringing products in that would generate revenue and funding the company forward. So listen, we're on a fantastic track, a fantastic trajectory, and looking forward to a little bit of rest over Christmas. And then come back recharged in January and pushing Poolbeg forward.
Yeah, absolutely. Lots to look forward to. It definitely sounds like you've earned a break. Have a wonderful Christmas, and congratulations on what's been a fantastic year.
Thank you, John, and you too.
Thanks.
The Vox Markets Podcast. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.